been so good. Amen. He's been so good. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. He's been faithful. Has he been faithful to you? Amen. Amen. We praise God for his faithfulness. We praise God for him being a good, good father. He's been a good father. I don't know if he's been a good father. I know he's been a good father to you. He's been a good father to me. Amen. Just have so much to thank God for. It's so easy for us to focus on the negative, or to focus on our trials and troubles, or the obstacles in life, when God wants us to see those obstacles are as opportunities for him to manifest his greatness and his power in our lives. How many of you are walking with your eyes open expecting God to do something great? He's the God. He said he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. So we need to begin to walk in expectation, expecting God to show up and do great and mighty, mighty, mighty things. We praise God today. Amen. I pray that today as we are here, thank you. Thank you very much for the water. That we come today, again, I say it all the time, we don't need more information, but we need revelation and transformation. So our prayer is that God will open the eyes of our hearts today. How many of you want him to open the eyes of your heart at home? I pray that right where you are, that you ask God to open the eyes of your heart so we could see him and hear what he has to say to us as we talk, continue in our series we call Back At It. Back At It, prioritizing our relationship with Christ. Before we get into our time of the word this morning, I'm just going to ask, can we just say that to God? Just ask him to open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. If you know that, say that. Say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Come on, say that one more time to the Lord. Ask him, say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Just ask him. Open the eyes of my heart. Because I want to see you. Come on, say it one more time. Say, open the eyes of my heart. Just ask him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Come on, just open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my
heart. Say, I need
to see you.
Yeah. Come on,
I need to see you.
And this is how you need to see him. High and lifted up.
See you high and lifted up.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Come on, ask him. Pour out your power, God.
Pour out your power and love.
As we sing. Desperate for your presence today.
I want to see you.
Come on, at home, just ask if God, open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes,
open
of, my
the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Hallelujah. Come on, I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Come on.
Holy, holy, holy,
see you,
I lift it up.
Hallelujah.
Shine
God, I want to see you today. In fact, God, we need to see you today. We ask God. We thank you, Lord. Your word says that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And the fact of the matter is, God, it doesn't matter where we gather, you are there in the midst. Lord God, because your word says in Psalm 139 that you know, Lord God, if I take up the wings of heaven, Lord God, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. Lord God, you are every place. We serve an omnipresent God, but we also serve a God who's all good. And so, God, today we need to see your goodness and show us your power, God. Manifest your presence and your power in this place. God, if it's physical healing, we know you're able. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Some are watching. Some are here waiting for healing in their body. God, we ask that you heal. God, for some who are, Lord God, seeking you for deliverance from addiction or stronghold in their life, I thank you that no weapon, hallelujah, formed against me shall prosper. And your word says that every tongue that rises up against me falsely, God, you will condemn. Thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Help us to walk in victory today. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Do great things. Help us to look to you for great things. We worship you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we applaud our King? You can honk your horn in your living room, in your kitchen. Can you applaud our King today? We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God, and he loves you. He's got a wonderful and amazing plan for your life. I thank God for you. Thank God for you being here with us today. All of you who are here, all of you who are there, we thank God for you. If you're a guest, we don't take it lightly. We ask that you connect with us here at Encounter Life Church. You can text the word new to 301-804-2520. If you're new, this is your first time, you can text the word new to 301-804-2520. You can go and fill out the connection card online, encounterchurch.net/next. There's a form there that you can say, I'm new. I'm just coming to Encounter Life for the first time. I wanted someone to connect with me. Could you do that? We pray. And also that same form, if you're not new, I encourage you to find that form on that website as well, because God is going to speak to you today. God is going to speak to you. The word of God said his word never returns void. And we're here today to hear a word from God. We're not coming through the motions. I expect God to show up and to challenge you in some area of your life. So wherever God challenges you, that on that form, there's a place for you to make a response to say, God, listen, I recommit my life to you. I might be a person who's never accepted Christ to say, listen, I see a need for a Savior, and I invited Jesus to come into my life to forgive me of all my sins. That form is there too. As God speaks to you throughout the day, we expect him to show up and do great, great things. Amen? Amen. We praise God for that. I want to ask that you continue to keep in prayer those who are in need of prayer. There are many who are battling illness. Continue to lift up Sister Dolores. We thank you for my mom, Sister McKinney, who's here. Last week, y'all know she had to go to the hospital. Her blood pressure could not be under control, but we thank God she's here today, and she's pushing through. Continue to pray for God's healing in her body, that she will be able to deal with the pain that she's dealing through. Also want to continue to lift up, praise God, see Sister Kenya is here today. Kenya couldn't be with us. She had to undergo some surgical procedures, and I praise God that she's here in the car today. Can we honk the horn for Sister Kenya? Amen. We want to continue to lift their family up in prayer, all of those who are going through. Also my wife, pray for her mom as she's battling as well, and I praise God she's watching. She's online. She's up ready. She's watching for church today. Amen. She continued. I praise God she was able last Sunday, even as weak as she is, to go. She asked somebody, I want you to take me to church. So she was able to go to church last week, and we praise God. We serve a mighty God. He's able. He's a healer, and he's able to do great things. And today we're continuing our series. Our series we call Back at It. Some people are back at school. Your kids are back at school. This for me was my first week back in school. Not me back in school, but our children back in school. I think Prince George's County started back this week. Charles County and the district started up back the week before that. Some of the private schools have been in. But, you know, it's something like when that Labor Day, we talked about work as worship last week as we talked about back at it. And our subtitle of our series is Prioritizing Our Relationship with Christ. And we looked at getting back at it and how we ought to prioritize our relationship with Christ at work. And I encourage you, after you heard that word last week, how many of you were challenged on your job this week to keep Christ first? Anybody challenged on your job? Somebody get on your nerves? Your boss asked you to do something? Something happened. You say, okay, God, I got to change my mindset. And we looked at last week how our jobs are an extension. Our work is an extension of worship as we looked at our Labor Day. And I pray that you were encouraged. We said that, listen, work is the will of God. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God, for you to be a witness, for God to use you to be a witness for those who don't know him. And it's the route that God uses to provide for your life, for the needs in your life, for your monetary needs, your material needs. It's a route for him to do that. And we also looked at the work and your job. The kingdom must be priority. It's not just about your job. You are there on an assignment. Amen. And today we're continuing in that series as The Amazing Race, prioritizing our relationship with Christ. And we're going to be looking at our title this morning is called, we're going to be coming from the topic, The Amazing Race. The Amazing Race. I want you, if you have your Bible or your phone or your tablet or whatever, wherever you are, if you could turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at the first four verses, but we're going to be primarily focused on verse 1 and 2, The Amazing Race. Because, y'all, you know what? We're in a race. We're in a race right now. And this walk with God, this relationship that you have, this relationship with Christ, you know, it's like a race. It's like that you got to get fit for and get prepared for. And today we're going to look on how you can remain faithful in the race. The Amazing Race and how to remain faithful in the race. I know last month we looked at the Olympics. How many of you enjoyed the Olympics? I've said it before. Sometimes the Olympics comes and allows me to watch sports that I would have never watched before. I'm not interested in a whole lot of these. I'm not interested in some, what is it, crew or whatever it else. They got some crazy sports in the Olympics now. But the Olympics allow you to watch some crazy sports, but I always love track and field. And the Bible a lot of times uses sports analogies. A couple of months ago, we did a series called The Games and looking at sports and how we can relate to the Scripture. But the Bible uses a lot of sports analogies. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, 1 through 3, he talks about a race. He gives a comparison to this life, your walk with Christ being like a race. And if you're going to prioritize Christ in your life, if you're going to prioritize your relationship with God, there's some things that we got to get in order so that you can remain faithful in the race. And I'm going to give you five things today that I want you to stay focused on as you run this race. As you get back at it, you might be here and say, listen, I'm back at it on my job, but there's somebody who has accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, and you're saying, you know what, I'm trying to get back at it in my walk with God. None of us are perfect. Some of us, you know what, we start good and we've dropped the ball. But I'm so glad that in this race, I can always pick back up and get back in. He doesn't disqualify me. Yes, I slowed down. I may have gotten off course, but God said, look, you can write today. Get back at it. Get back in the race. And if you want to get back in the race, if you want to recommit yourself to walking with God the way that you know you should, there are some tips, there are some keys here that we see in these first four verses, especially these first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12 that we want to look at. Before we do that, I'm just going to ask God to bless our time in the Word once again. Dear God, we ask that you will illuminate your revelation. Show us your face. Challenge us so that as we come from this time in your Word, that we'll never be the same. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Hebrews 12. Here it is, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in your struggle against sin. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. The amazing race. How to stay faithful in your walk with God. Look, I'm right here in verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. Before we get into it, listen. Always in the Bible, you ought to figure out, whenever you see the word therefore, you got to figure out what is there for. When you see therefore, you got to remember what it's there for. And what happened in chapter 11, if you go back in this passage, chapter 11, he just goes and gives you a litany. He gives you a list of all of these people in Scripture who were faithful to God. Some of them who are more prominent than others. There are people like Rahab, who was actually a prostitute. I mean, that God even mentions her in there. There's all these names that he mentions. He mentions Moses. He mentions all of these people. And then the Bible, and some of us refer to Hebrews 11 as the hall of faith. The hall of faith. If you look at Hebrews 11 and go through all of these names that he lists in the hall of faith, and he talks about all of these people who walked this walk of faith, but they never ever saw the ultimate prize. But they remained faithful. And they remained faithful and they never gave up. And so when he goes through all of these names, and then he comes to that, now in light of that, therefore, he said, now I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. And if you want to remain faithful in your walk with God, if you want to remain faithful as you come to and get back at it today, if you want to get back at it, recommitting yourself to being faithful in your walk with God, there's a couple of things that you need to do. And I'm going to tell you, the first thing that you need to do right here is found in verse 1. The first thing he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. He's saying, look, this is what I want you to do. Number one, you got to stand on the shoulders of those who walked the faith before you. You got to stand on the shoulders of those who walked this walk before you. Bear with me as I turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, I just want you to hear some of these names. He lists some of these names in Hebrews 11. He talks about Enoch, and he goes and he talks about how Noah built an ark. Can you ever imagine someone building an ark for a boat when there has never been water? When there's never been rain? He goes and he lists Noah, and he lists a man by the name of Abraham, who God said, I'm going to give you a son in your old age. You're about 100 years old. You're still going to have a child. And look, he gave him the child the promise, but he never saw the ultimate promise fulfilled. And he said, look, there are people who've had to walk this walk before you. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're watching me and you want to recommit your life to Christ, I want to let you know, guess what? This walk ain't easy. Walking with God ain't easy. Running the race is not easy. When you look at the Olympics, when you look at sports, and I just marvel at all of these Olympic and world-class athletes, the amount of dedication that they have to their craft. You can't just get out there and say, look, I'm here to tell you, I used to be an athlete. I used to play sports, and I still like to work out and exercise and try to stay in shape. And the other day I said, look, I still think I'm in pretty good shape. I exercise every day and I lift weights. But you know, if you wanna compete on that level, you gotta exercise a certain way. You got to prepare yourself a certain way. Even in sports, when an athlete has been out of commission for a while, he may have been working out, but the coach say he's not in game shape yet. Yeah, he might be in shape, he might be look fit, but in order for you to be in game shape, there's certain kind of workouts that you got to do to get in game shape. And a couple of weeks ago, see, some of y'all, I told y'all this, I recently started coaching my son's AAU basketball team. And we were at practice the other day, and I said, look, I'm in good shape. I'm in good shape. And these boys, they're 13 years old. You know, I'm still working out and exercising. And I had my boys do something called suicides. Anybody play basketball, you know what a suicide is. I'm telling you, I used to run suicides when I played basketball, and I got so out of shape. I mean, I was like, oh, my goodness. I try to run with these young boys, and I pulled my hamstring. Why? Because I was not in game shape. I remember that I was 50. I was not in game shape, so I had to recognize, man, I couldn't do this. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to run this race, you got to recognize, listen, everybody can't do this. It's running this race for God can be a challenge. And so when you come at it, sometimes you can get discouraged because, man, that's hard. That's difficult. But one of the things that helps you get through things that are difficult is when you see that there is somebody who is just like you who's gone through it before. It's nothing like it. Nothing more encouraging to say, look, when I can stand on the shoulders of somebody who's got some of my same limitations, who got some of my same issues, and I see that they walked this walk of faith and were successful to the point that God mentions them in his word. In fact, one of them was a prostitute. And if God mentions her, look, I can stand on their shoulders and receive encouragement. Today, if you want to walk this walk of faith, you know, you got to get familiar with those who walk the walk of faith in front of you. You got to get familiar, not only in the scripture, you got to go into the word and just see that there were people like a man by the name of David. And God says he's a man after my own heart, but he's still a lying, cheating, murderer, adulterous man. And God said he's a man after my own heart, and he considered him faithful, and he considered him God's man. Even though he dropped the ball sometimes, even though it got difficult and he failed sometimes, he still, listen, you can still finish strong. Today I want to let you know, if you want to walk this walk of faith, if you want to remain faithful, you must stand on the shoulders who've walked the walk of faith before you. Get to know the faithful people. Get to know them in scripture, but you know what? It's also helpful to know some folks in your life. How many of y'all know that there's some men and women who have modeled faithfulness in front of you? We can stand on their shoulders. As people of color, we know what it means to stand on the shoulders of those who've gone in front of us. We've had adversity as a people in this nation. We have faced racism. We face slavery. We face oppression, Jim Crow. And we've got brothers and we got mothers and fathers and grandmothers and aunties and uncles who endured all that, who said, listen, I came through it and I have achieved, so you can do it too. You got to stand on the shoulders of the faithful. You want to run this race and be successful and finish strong, get some folks in your life. Find somebody that you can go and say, listen, you can model after their walk with God. Follow them as they follow Christ. And look, if you don't have nobody that you know personally, guess what? Pick up the Word of God. Pick up the Word of God, because the Bible is chock full of people, examples who got feet of clay just like you and me that you can model after. Says it right there in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. You got people around you, man. That's nothing more encouraging when you're facing something that's scary, when you're facing something that's challenging, than to know that there's somebody else who's been through it before. You know, there's something I want to admit to y'all. I don't know. Any of y'all like roller coasters out here? Any roller coaster fan? I'm going to tell you right now, I used to hate roller coasters. I used to, from growing up, we would go to the amusement park, King's Dominion, and all my friends, you know, when I was younger, and then when I got older, you know, a little bit older, we'd go, and when the roller coaster time, I'm holding everybody's stuff. Because, nah, I ain't getting up. That just does not look stable to me. And then that drop, I'm not feeling that drop. I mean, I just felt insecure. I just could not do it. And I used to feel bad. I'm like, man, look at you, man. You, all of these people, why are you scared? There's little girls getting on a roller coaster. What's wrong with you? And it came to a point when I got later on, and you know when you walk up to the roller coaster, they got that little chart that says if you're not this tall, you can't get on the ride. And here I am, I'm way above the chart. The chart's all the way down here, and I'm like, I'm too scared to get on that ride. What got me to the point where I was able to get on roller coasters was I'm watching this little kid. If he can get on there, and if they can get on there, they just like you, why can't you get on there? And it was something about I got strength and encouragement over time after watching people just like me be able to face their fears and be able to do it. And that's what got me to the point where, you know, I got to the point I was getting on everything and anything and enjoying it. Because one time it got to the point I was too scared sometimes to even try it because it just looked scary. Till I said, if they can do it, I can do it. I'm here to tell you, when you got people in your life and you've seen them remodel faithfulness, if they can do it, you can do it. Today, if you want to model this walk of faith, if you want to be successful in this amazing race, stand on the shoulders of those faithful people who've gone before you. But not only that, the second thing, what you also have to do is what he says here in the next part of verse 1. If you go down, he says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Today, look, if you want to run this amazing race, if you want to be faithful in this race, you know what? You got to strip off some stuff. You got to strip away everything that holds you back and weighs you down. You got to strip away everything that holds you back and weighs you down. And that everything could be people, places, and things. It says strip away. What does it say? Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. When you watch a track and field race, you never see nobody run track and field in jeans and boots. They're not going to run. I don't care if it's a sprint. I don't care if it's long distance. They got them little tiny shorts on. They're not even wearing sweatpants. And they got the lightest shoes they could possibly have. They're not going to wear no basketball shoes. You don't wear basketball shoes to run track because they're too heavy. So what they got to do, they got to make sure that they strip off everything that can weigh them down so that they can be successful. And I'm here to tell you, look, as you're prioritizing your walk with Christ, my question to you is, what is the thing in your life that's weighing you down and holding you back? It says right here, strip off every weight and the sin. Do you know there are things that may be weighing you down and holding you back that may not be sin? There are certain things that might not even be bad things, but they still are they're holding you back from doing and being all that God called you to be. So God is telling you to take an inventory of your life and assess and say, what is it right now that is keeping you from being all that I've called you to be? And you know what you got to do? You got to get rid of it. You got to throw some stuff away. You got to take off some clothes. I reminded when Lazarus came forth and Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. They said, you got to take off the grave clothes. What are those things that are tying you up and binding you? Who are those people? Who are those people? What are those habits? What is that thing? What is that obligation that you have committed yourself to? It could even be something that's in the church. Lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. See, it's a weight is something that can hold you back, but then also there are those besetting sins. There's sin that is binding us, entangling us, and keeping us from being what God called us to be. Today, under the sound of my voice, you watching, you out here, somebody may have a stronghold in their life. You may have something in your life. You know, it could be an attitude or some kind of action. Sin, I tell my kids, anything that I act, any action, anything I say or do that is against God, that you know God ain't pleased with, but it's a stronghold in your life. In order for you to be named with the faithful, in order for you to run this race well that God has called you to do, you got to strip it off. You got to be desperate. Anything, listen, if it's too much, you got to just rip it off and be desperate because, God, I know you're taking me somewhere. Today, take an inventory of your life. I encourage you. Take an inventory of your life. What are the things that you have right now going on that you know God is telling you it's time to strip them away? Who are those people that you need to strip away from? I was having this conversation with a young lady not too long ago. And she was just talking, and she's in agony about some things going on in her life. And we just began to assess some of the relationships she's in. And I said, you know, well, you got to make a painful decision. Some of these people that you are talking about right now, you're going to have to cut them out of your life. All the time you're trying to figure out how to fix the relationship, I'm going to tell you what, you know what, your relationship with God, your relationship, the thing that God is trying to take you to is way more important than these people you're trying to hold on to, and they're holding you back. And not only that, they're weighing you down, but sometimes the people are weighing you down, but you know what, sometimes you don't even recognize why they're weighing you down, you're weighing them down too. Some stuff we try to hold on to is holding us back. But God is saying, not only is it holding you back, I got somewhere that for them I'm trying to get to. I want them to get to. You holding them back. God is telling you to strip away. First thing that you got to do, stand on the shoulders of those faithful people who walk this walk before you. Second thing, you must strip away any and everything that holds you back and slows you down. The next thing, continue down. Man, verse 1 is chock full. He said, after he says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up. Then he says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before you. The third thing you got to do is stick with it and don't quit. He said, you got to have endurance. Let us run with endurance. Some of your Bibles say perseverance. You got that staying power. In this walk, you got to have staying power. One of the things, you know, there's some people who are sprinters. One of the things that they do at the end of the Olympics is something that I just don't understand why anybody volunteers for is a marathon. 26.2 miles. Look, I'm struggling through 2 or 3. I'm not volunteering for 26.2 miles. And anybody who runs distance, anybody who's run cross country will tell you, or run long distance can tell you, there comes a point where you almost like you hit a wall. And you're running and it almost feels like you're about to die. I'm not going to be able to finish this. But if you can, they tell me, right, because I've never done the 26.2 miles, but they tell me, if you could push through that wall, it's all downhill. You got to have staying power. You got to have endurance. And I'm here to tell you, in order for you to have endurance, it involves a couple of things. It requires preparation and right expectation. See, because like I said today, if I'm going to endure, if I'm going to compete in the Olympics, I can't just jump off my couch today and do that. See, I'm not going to have staying power because why? I'm not properly prepared. Like I said the other day, I got up and said, I'm going to run suicides with the boys. That lasted about 3 times down the court, and I pulled my hamstring, and I wasn't right for 2 or 3 weeks. Why? Because I was not prepared. My body was not prepared. See, when you get 50, you got to stretch before and after and in between. You got to have right preparation if you're going to compete that way. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to endure, listen, the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. It brings about endurance. In order for you to endure, it's going to require some preparation. It's going to require some training. The word of God says those who will live godly in Christ will suffer. Anybody knows training is there's some suffering involved. There's some pain involved. And I'm here to tell you, in order for you to have that staying power, in order for you to stick with it, you're going to have to endure a training regimen. You're going to have to, he said, look, in 1 Corinthians, he said, I keep under my body, I make it my slave, so why I don't get disqualified in the race? You got to begin to discipline yourself for godliness. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. God is telling you, you got to begin to train yourself. How do I begin to train myself, Pastor? You got to get up out the bed and get on your knees and get in his word. You got to get in his word, and I've said it before. If you want to be trained right, you got to have the right stuff in you. I cannot train. I cannot run in the Olympics on M&Ms and Reese's Cups. I got to have the right nutrition, and I'm here to tell you today, look, you got to have the right training. If you want to get endurance, endurance comes with training. You don't just get up and run a marathon off the couch. What you do, you run 2 miles today, 3 miles the next day. Then you say, I'm going to go up to 5. Then I'm going to go up to 6. You got to begin to train yourself to walk in godliness. Starts with a personal time with God. Starts with time on your knees in prayer. There's a discipline that we're going to talk about in the next week or two called fasting. We're going to be talking about fasting. We need to get back to that principle of fasting, denying our bodies, denying ourselves something so that we can discipline ourselves to listen closer to what God will have us to do. Endurance requires preparation, but endurance also requires the right expectation. See, when I can endure something, when I know, when I have an idea of what I'm going to be facing. See, because if I thought the marathon was supposed to be easy, I'm going to quit real quick. If I was not expecting the pain, see, I'm going to quit real quick. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to endure for God, you got to have the right expectation. And I'm afraid sometimes as pastors and as leaders and as churches, we're not giving people the right expectation of what this is all about. See, a lot of times people come to Jesus like he's Santa Claus. See, we come to this thing and we come to Christ like he's supposed to meet all our needs. And guess what? He can meet all of our needs. But the fact of the matter is, you don't even know what your needs are. You got to come to him so he can show you what your need is. Your ultimate need is deliverance from your sin. But sometimes when I have the wrong expectation of what this walk is all about, what I'm going to experience, it's hard to endure. I will quit easy because I didn't know it was going to hurt that bad. But when I come to this and recognize that, look, you know what, I'm going to have to, those who live godly, you're going to have to go through some stuff. Then when the pain comes, he said, look, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. So you're going to go through some stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm with you in the middle of it, though. This morning, my children, their devotion, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. So I don't have to fear though the earth be removed. I'm expecting there's going to be some earthquakes. See, when 2020 came, and especially in this country, we got this easy believism. We got this theology. It's like Burger King theology. Have it your way, Jesus. We want him to do what we want him to do. And that's not what this is all about. So when 2020 came and just blew our whole world out the water, off the frame, we confused. Some people, man, we were out of the church. Like I said, the church has left the building. The church left the building, but there's some folks who just left the church. Because I did not expect it to be this hard. But if you're going to endure, listen, you got to endure hardship as a good soldier. Why? Because you know, look, this weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah, God, got to go through it, but God, you're taking me through it so I can get to it. You got something greater on the other side. Endurance, you got to have staying power. Church, I'm encouraging you today as you get back at it in your relationship with God. Stick with it and don't quit it. Stick with it and don't quit it, even when it looks like it's not working. You know, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. I remember talking to a young man many, 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 many years ago. I lose sight of how long I've been doing this, and I was working with teenagers. And it was one young man I was encouraging, man, you're gonna have to get more committed let's spend some time in your word. And he said, man, I tried that and it didn't work. And I was like, tried it, it didn't work. What was it supposed to do? Like, you think reading the Bible and praying is like rubbing Jesus' belly and now he's supposed to bring you blessings out of it? What's supposed to happen? How you know it works is, did you change? Not did he give me what I wanted, but what I wanted, did it become what he wants? Endurance, staying power, comes with preparation and right expectation. That's what he says right here. He said, listen, let us run with endurance. But the fourth thing, I said, you got to stand on the shoulders of the faithful people who've gone before you. Strip away every hindrance, every obstacle, everything that is keeping you from being all that God will call you to be. And stick with it. Have staying power. Endure. But he says, listen, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. You know, the other day, I'm going to get to my next point. I was reading about one of the Olympic athletes. Her name was Anna Cockrell.
Anna Cockrell was running the 400-meter hurdles in the Tokyo Olympics this time, in this Tokyo Olympics, the Olympics that just passed. And Anna Cockrell, she's running for the United States, young lady, first Olympics, she was disqualified. You know why? She ran in her opponent's lane. She was in the wrong lane. She spilled over into the wrong lane. And when I was reading this passage, it just jumped out at me. That word, it says, run the race God has set before us. Meaning, you got to not only stick with it, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Yes, we in the race, but guess what? God has given you a lane to run in. Stop focusing on your brother and sister's lane. What happened to Anna Cockrell? She didn't run the race set out before her. What is it? And some of your Bibles will say the race that was marked out before you. Marked out, it gives you the picture of somebody setting up lines and saying you run along this course. But when you step off outside the lines, you get disqualified. Yeah, you're going in the right direction. Yeah, you're going in the same race. But guess what? You stepped in somebody else's lane. They got a different lane to run in. God has given them different gifts and talents. God has given them different abilities. You know what? Today, most of us spend too much of our day in everybody else's lane. And now you have access to everybody else's lane right on your Instagram feed. That's what we do. I'm so busy going through the other pastor's lane. We're running the same race, but he got a different lane. God is calling him to a different group of people. We're trying to get to the same place, but I'm so busy watching that lane that, listen, I get dissatisfied with the lane that I'm in, and I try to step in. God said, nope, you're disqualified, like Anna Cockrell. I didn't call you to do that over there. I called you to this, but I didn't call you to get there like that. That's their lane. Stay in your lane. What has God gifted you to do? In this race, there are some who are pastors. There are some who are teachers. There are some who may be Sunday school. Some might be singing the choir. But others, look, you go to work, just like we said last week, your work is worship. Your ministry is in your vocation. Look, stop trying to be like somebody else. Today, God is calling you to stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. But I think it's fitting that comes after stripping away everything that holds us back, because sometimes our social media can hold us back, can be a weight that keeps us from being all God would call us to be. Because you can spend hours and minutes and hours, really hours, going through TikTok videos and Instagram and Facebook and seeing what everybody else is doing. And all that time I'm seeing what everybody else is doing, what God called you to do is just sitting off to the side. And then when you get up to do something, you're trying to do it just like somebody else. God said, that's not your lane. Today, God is telling you, look, if you want to be all that I've called you to be on this race, stay in your lane. Stand on the shoulders of those who are faithful. Strip away everything that holds you back or slows you down. Stick with it and don't quit it. Stay in your lane. Don't run somebody else's race. And the final thing is right here. Finally, he said, look, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Final thing in verse 2 that I want to deal with. The fifth and final thing is, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Set your eyes firmly on Jesus. I love that hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You got to set your fire. If you want to run successful, if you want to finish strong as God will call you to finish, as you get back at it, as you are starting to prioritize your relationship with Christ, he says, set your eyes firmly on Jesus. What does he say? Because. Why? Because we said we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. But when you set your eyes on Jesus as you're going through all this, you can reflect and think about all he had to go through for you. He says, listen, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Look, Jesus went through all that just for you. Set your eyes firmly on him today. When you're tempted to give up, when you're tempted to give in, set your eyes firmly on Jesus. And recognize he went through it. And look, I love it because Galatians tell me, look that my life is hidden now with Christ in God. That look, I've been crucified with Christ. He now indwells me. He is inside of me. He lives through me. And so I got to set my eyes on him. What is setting my eyes on him? Listen, when you really recognize and begin to meditate and have a handle on the depth, the height, the breadth, the width of his love and all that he went through just for you and I. He said, he did that for me? If he hung for me, why can't I just live for him? If he hung for me, why can't I just run for him? That's what we got to do. Set your eyes firmly on Jesus. Do not let Easter, don't let Good Friday just become a story that somebody told. You got to let it be fresh for you every day. That God made him who knew no sin to come and become sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. Set your eyes firmly on what Jesus has done for you. When you're tempted to give up, think about how he did not give up on that cross. The Bible says he could have called legions of angels, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Why? Because of the joy set before him. He endured the cross. You know what that means? The joy set before him. Redeeming you was a joy. He took pleasure in it. The pain that he endured, he said, the joy, I'm looking past the pain to the joy that is set before me, to the redemption of those lost souls, to bind them back and bringing them into my presence. Today, when you set your eyes on Jesus, you can walk firmly with him. You can walk for him. You can run for him. Always reminds me, y'all have heard me tell this all the time, but this reminds me of the story of Peter walking on water. Whenever Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he started sinking. I'm here to tell you the same is true for you and I today. Whenever we get our eyes off of Jesus, you know what? We start going backwards. We start losing ground in the race. Today, I encourage you, set your eyes firmly on Jesus. And what, you know what? He will take, look, you will be successful. You can remain faithful. And the race God calls you. The race God is calling you to run. Today, it's an amazing race. It's not easy. It's going to be some rough times. Like I said, in this world you have tribulation. But I'm here to tell you, look at the cloud of witnesses around you. Even today, there's a cloud of witnesses around you. At home, there's some folks that you know. You got a grandmama somewhere, a mother somewhere, somebody, some uncle, a godmother, somebody, godfather, who modeled faithfulness before you. You know what? Stand on their shoulders. They modeled the walk of faith. Godliness before you. Stand on their shoulders. You understand it. You know what? If my mama could have done it, I can do it. My mother, she fought through it. She did it. If she did it, I can do it. If my father was able to endure through it, I can do it. If Rahab, a harlot, can do it, I can do it. Stand on their shoulders. What you got to do today, stand on their shoulders, and what you got to do, be faithful, stick with it. Don't quit what God has called you to do. Remain faithful, and then you got to strip away all of that stuff that weighs you down. Get rid of it today. Take inventory of your life. Set your eyes firmly on Jesus. Stay in the lane he's called you to. And then watch. Guess what? Then he can use you mightily to draw people into his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you today for that you chose the simple things of the world to confound the wise. Thank you, Lord, that little becomes much when it's placed in your hands. And today, as we are running our race, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will help us to become familiar. Help us to put people in our lives, Lord God, surround ourselves with people who've modeled faithfulness, who've had to go through some stuff, but still remain faithful to the call of God on their life, and to use them, Lord, to stand on their shoulders and get encouragement, draw encouragement from them. Lord, help us to go to your word as the faithful, Lord God, who will remain faithful in your word and draw encouragement from them. We pray in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, as we do that and we look at our lives and take inventory of our lives, that, Lord God, you will cause us not to hold on to some things that you're telling us to cut away, to strip away the weights and the sin that weighs us down, Lord God, that trips us up. Lord, help us to stay in the lane that you've called us, Lord, to resist the temptation to compare ourselves with other people. And to, Lord, to endure, even when it's hard, to have the right expectation, to make the right preparation. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Now, this morning, if there's somebody today who said, listen, Pastor, I want to get back at it. I want to get back at it. It's time for me to recommit to walking with God like I'm supposed to. I've kind of gotten off course. I may have stepped into the wrong lane, but today I thank God for his mercy and his grace, and I want to get back on course. If you're here out in the parking lot, if you're at home and you say, look, today I want to recommit my life to walking with God, and using these points and using the tools God has given you and made available to you so that you can remain faithful and finish strong. If you'd like to recommit your life to God today, we want to know about that. I want to pray a simple prayer of recommitment. You can just pray this after me. Look, does it mean you're going to be perfect after this? No. But I encourage you, look, it's a decision you're making to say, look, I'm going to change direction and live differently. And God, I need your strength. I need your power. I want you to pray this prayer. Say, dear God, thank you for being patient with me. Today, I come and recommit myself to walking with you. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I might walk in obedience and be all that you called me to be. In Jesus' name. Listen, if that prayer is something that expresses the desire of your heart, you've already accepted Christ and you want to recommit yourself to walking with him, please remember that form I told you about. You can let us know. Look, Pastor Wayne, I wanted to recommit my life today. Somebody needs to know about that in the way of accountability. Accountability is key. You need somebody, you need a training partner. You need somebody you can walk this walk with. If you're here today, you can go to encounterchurch.net/next. If you're in the parking lot, fill that form out. Say, Pastor Dwayne, I recommit my life today. Amen. Finally, if you're here, you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. He loves you and has a plan for your life. He made you to be in relationship with him. But all of us are born separated from God by our own mess. We're not perfect and God is. So that has created a big divide between us and God. But God made a way to bridge that gap. Look, he sent his son Jesus Christ to pay for your sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should never perish but have everlasting life. God is offering you everlasting life with him eternally in heaven. But not only that, he's here to offer you abundant, full, meaningful life right now here on this earth. You can have that if you ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins. If you've never done that, it's very simple. I want you to, it's like ABC. I want you to say this after me. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again. And I choose to invite you into my life as Savior and Lord. Make me who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you really meant that, listen, he said, now I will give you eternal life. You'll never perish. Forgiveness of sins is yours. Look, purpose and meaning is yours. Look, we want to give you some tools in your hand to show you what to do next. So look, text the word next to 301-804-2520. 301-804-2520. Text the word next, and it's going to send you some stuff that you can do next to grow in your walk with God. Amen? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I pray that your heart was encouraged today by the word. Look, before we close out, I'm going to give you an opportunity out here and at home to give to what God is doing here at Encounter Life Church. Look, if you want to give the traditional way, there's a table here for you to bring your gifts there. If you want to give at home electronically, you can give right on the website at encounterchurch.net/give. Or you can give through Cash App. $ Encounter Life, all one word. Amen. 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 He is good. Amen. And his mercy endures forever. Look, if you are home and you are a member of Encounter Life, we are having our annual business meeting virtually via Zoom on Wednesday night. So we ask you to join us. Praise God. We had a wonderful time of prayer on Zoom. I want to thank Sister Tanya Fuller for leading us in our time of prayer. We had a great time in the Zoom rooms. So, look, Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Zoom, we will send out the link to the members for the meeting. There also will be a link going out to the financial report for you to go to review. Brother Marvin has that prepared for us. So we're going to send that out to you guys electronically via your emails so that you can all have that in your hands, of the report for your review before we have our business meeting on Wednesday. Amen. Also want to encourage you, please, Saturday, if you have anybody you know who plays soccer, any children who play soccer, boys or girls, 6 to 12, we have an amazing soccer clinic. I thank Dr. Gerard Davidson and his daughter. They come all the way out here to train these kids for soccer. So look, we want to pack it out. If you're watching at home, 2200 Colbert Drive, Temple Hills, please, Saturday morning from 10 to 11, Soccer Skills Clinic will be here. Amen. Continue to keep those in prayer who are in need of prayer. I'll tell you, see somebody today, wave at them, hit them with your elbow. If you're at home, shoot a text to somebody, say what's up in the chat. We're glad that you could worship with us today. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Amen. 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 Finish strong. Finish strong. Run your race. Stay in your lane and finish strong. Amen. God bless you. See y'all next Sunday.